ELC Radio.
Hey family, what's going on? This is Pastor Cruz Ramirez with Abundant Living Faith Center from El Paso, Texas. This is the podcast that's going to help you love God and lift and others.
Love God, lift others. Love God, lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limon.
Turn in your Bibles now to our text that we're on, which is John 17, 13 through 18. We are in a series called In It, But Not Of It. And the reason for this series is because we had a prophetic word come to us a few months back that we are crossing over as a church and as a people. And what does that mean? That means we're leaving the land of mediocrity and we're going into the promise. Amen. What does that mean for us as a church? Well, we're getting into a building. Our level of ministry is going to increase. Our level of fruit, our level of impact into South Sacramento is going to increase as part of the promise that we're called to possess. What does it mean for your life? Well, if you take this word and apply it, it means you're going to leave mediocrity, that your marriage doesn't have to be mediocre. It can be great. That your kids don't need to be mediocre, they can be great. That your career doesn't need to be mediocre, it can be great. If you take hold of the promises and you start walking with Jesus. And so that's what we're getting into now, that we're going into a land, much like Israel, that is inhabited by things in the spirit, by demonic spirits, in Israel's case, it was people. They had the Canaanites, the Hittites, all these people that were squatting on their promise. And God used the people of Israel to go in. And before they could take their promise, they had to do something. They had to learn how to fight. Amen? They had to learn how to fight. See, in the wilderness, in mediocrity, you don't need to learn how to fight. You collect a check and you just exist. Amen? Come on, smile at me. You just exist. You know, you go do your 40 hours a week, and then you post on Friday, yay, it's Friday. Big whoop. Is that what your life is, one day a week? It's all you can get happy about is your Friday and your Saturday, so you can go out and get drunk or go out and get your groove on or go what? Listen, that is not life. Amen? Amen. There's more to life. There's life that's learning how to possess the promise of God. It's learning how to possess what it is God created you for. And that's what we're talking about. But in able to do it, Israel had to go into the promised land and conquer it, but they couldn't be of it. And it's the same way you and I are called to do. We're called to go into our career, our world, whatever that might be, the career, the business world, whatever it is, your communities, and we're to be in it, but not of it. Can I get an amen? Amen? That means we have a different language than they have. We don't see things the way they see it. Amen? Yeah. Y'all know this, right? See, this is what kills that thing of just making Jesus a part of your life from 10 to 11:30 on Sundays. That's what most people's Christianity is. It's just that little time on Sundays where they go to church. The rest of their life, they think just like everybody else. And you got to know this, if you want to possess your best life, you're going to have to exchange some things. And the thing that we exchange is, number one, our way of thinking. We no longer allow the world to tell us about how we're to live. We get our thoughts from the Word of God. And here's the crazy thing. The Word of God, the kingdom of God, many times contradicts what the world will tell you. And so we've got to learn how to settle that and walk in being in it, but not of it. And so we start in our text, John 17, 13 through 18. Jesus says this, "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And as you send me into the world, I send them into the world." Now, why does the Lord send us into the world? So that we can reach others, so that we can bless others, so that we can lift others. Your life is about more than just self-existence, making sure your bills are paid, making sure you can take a vacation once a year, you know, making sure everything's okay. There's more to life than that. There's more to life than that. And if you don't believe me, why do you think so many people in 2018 are running to medicate themselves with alcohol, with marijuana, with drugs, with crystal meth, with straight up poison? The reason is because there's a God-shaped void in their life that nothing will fill. And so we try to fill it with things. We try to fill it with people. But here's the thing. There's only one thing that can fill it, and that is God and the purpose of God. And so, you know, the sad thing many times is people sitting in chairs on church on Sunday sometimes are doing the same things as people that don't have God. We try to fill that void with things. We try to fill it with entertainment. Nothing wrong with entertainment. We try to fill it with activity. Nothing wrong with activity. But here's the thing. At the end of the day, there'll still be fruitlessness. And I'm telling you from experience, and I'm telling you according to John chapter 10, verse 10, that there is no life like life with God. We say it all the time. John 10, 10 says, Jesus said, "I came to give you a life of abundance," which is a better life than you can ever dream. And I stand up here today to tell you that is the kind of life that Jesus has given me when I gave him my life at 19 years old. He's transformed my life. He's taken me from a place of destruction, of heartache, of pain, of mediocrity as a 19-year-old, the road I was on. He's put me on and given me a life that because I said yes to him and I said, "God, I'll believe you. God, I'll be a giver. God, I'll serve others." And that is why I share this word to you today, not out of duty, but at the same way that you, when you go to a good restaurant, what do? You call your friends and you say, "Man, you got to go to this place." The same way when you get a good product and it works in your life and you say, "Man, you got to get this thing. You got to try this thing because I like it. It's been so good to me." That's the same way that I got to do to you when it comes to Jesus and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, the last couple weeks we've been talking about not in it, but not of it. And we've talked about this thing that is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the last couple weeks, you can go online and listen to that on the podcast, and I want to encourage you to, because here's the thing. The greatest thing that we learn about Jesus leaving the earth, he says, "The reason I got to leave is so something better can come into your life." You say, "Wow, something better than having Jesus in the flesh walk the earth?" Now, Jesus said that. He said, "I got to go so that the Comforter can come to you, so that he could come and fill your life." And he says, "and baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Yet here we are in 2018, people that have received Jesus have not been filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's and then we just go on like it's nothing. Wherein you read the Bible, Jesus told the disciples, "Don't do anything. Don't even leave Jerusalem. Stay there. Lock yourselves in a room until I can get the Holy Spirit in your life to baptize you with power." He said, "Don't do anything." But so many of us are trying to live this Christian life without that power. Now, what is that power? What does that word power mean? The word power means the ability to get a desired result. It's the power to live a Christian life. We've got Christians, and you ain't got to go far. In most churches, half the people in the church are struggling to live the Christian life. They want to. Their hearts are in the right place. They lack the power. Where does the power come from? It comes from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so when you read Acts chapter 2, Jesus tells them, don't go nowhere, don't do anything. 50 days after Jesus was raised from the dead and went up to take his rightful place at the right hand of the Father, 50 days after that, the Bible says in the book of Acts that the Holy Spirit came and it filled the place where they were sitting. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit came in the room, and the Bible says he began to baptize them with speaking in other tongues. And as the Spirit came on them, they began to speak in other tongues. Now, that means they did it. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden they got possessed like a ghost came into their body and uncontrollably they just began to do this thing. Last 2 weeks, we've seen 25 people at these altars filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit praying in other tongues. And not one of them lost control. Not one of them just, oh, I can't stop. You know what happened? We laid hands on them. They received it. And they began to open their mouth. I said, now just pray what you feel come in your spirit. And they just began to, you know, speak in other tongues. And some of them, it was just one syllable. Da, 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 da. And we talked about that last week. Why does it happen like that? And it's because the Bible calls tongues a language. And nobody starts speaking language fluently at the beginning. Amen? Amen. How many of you got some family members that are learning English? Right? You got your tía. She can only say a few words in English, right? She's learning it, right? When I was a kid, my brother played on, Mondo remembers this. We had a coach that didn't know the English language very good. All he could say was two phrases. Come on, you guys. It's true, right, Mondo? Mondo's, and the second thing he could say was little bingo. Come on, you guys, little bingo. And so he could coach a whole game with two phrases. Come on, you guys, little bingo. We'd be like, okay, let's go. It's time to play. You'd strike out. He'd go, come on, you guys, little bingo. We knew that meant you got to do better. But he learned, he only had a little bit of English, so that's what he used. So when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, sometimes it's one phrase. It's two things, ya-da-da, do-do-do, dee-dee-dee. But here's, you want to know what some other things? Some of us have been praying the same thing for 10 years. It's not evolving because you don't use it enough. It's not taking shape. It's not growing inside of you. And here's what I want to do. I want to give us all an appetite for the supernatural, but it starts with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And today, before you leave, I want to give you five things and five reasons you should be praying in the Holy Spirit every day. Because it's important, and I believe it's overlooked in America. You go to other nations, man, they pray their guts out. They pray their guts out in the Spirit. In America, we're battling a spirit of intimidation. And you got to understand how a spirit of intimidation works. Anything you're ashamed of, you cannot have the benefits of. You need to write that down. Anything you're ashamed of, you cannot have the benefits of. Don't let anybody put shame on you. That's why my parents, I'm glad they raised me to be proud of my heritage. Hey, mijo, you're Mexican. That's right. You know, when I went to school, I was one of the first students when they started Capital Christian School. We were in the charter class. I was in the first grade. My brother Vince, who I think was in the fifth grade, and my brother Harv was I think, in the third grade. And we were the first Hispanic family in that school. Everybody else, and this is not a shot against them. This is just what it was. And I remember I would go to school, and it would affect me a little bit because I would go to school with my friends there were Jason and Todd and Billy and Wilson, and that's just what it was. But I'd go home, and my friends were Mondo, Marcos, you know, and I was in a different world, and it was different, that kind, and he used to kind of mess with me. But my dad would always build me up and just say, hey, you be proud. Be proud to be who you are. And it was something that I learned because, see, if somebody can shame you to be ashamed, you lose the benefit. You lose the benefit. So whatever you are, be proud of that thing. Amen? Amen. whatever race you are, whatever place you're from. They may tease you about your English. They may tease you about your customs, but own that thing. Amen? Don't let someone bring shame on you. But here's the flip side of that. In the spirit, Satan causes us to be ashamed of God all the time. Now think about it. Be honest with yourself. Why is it that we're ashamed to pray for people? The world ain't afraid to play their nasty music at the stoplight. And you got your four-year-old sitting in the car. And you got to listen to his profanity in the car next to you. While you got little mijito there, mijo, don't listen, mijo. You're putting your radio up louder, you know. They're not ashamed of that. They're not ashamed when you go in the restaurant to be cussing at each other in the restaurant. But we're ashamed to pray for people. We're ashamed to be spirit-filled believers. And it's always on the tuck, you know. We talk about God. It's like, hey, psst, come over here real quick. I want to invite you to my church. But then there's people at your job. Oh, man, I got messed up. Friday night, we was all naked running around. All proud of it, too. Oh, I took some girl home, and I don't even know what her name was. And they ask you, what'd you do this weekend? Oh, nothing. Nothing? You know what you just say? I went to church. Got my praise on. Pastor was speaking about being in it, not of it. You should have been there. But what do we do? Nothing. I didn't do anything. What? Because we're ashamed. We're ashamed of stuff. And see, the enemy knows if he can make you ashamed, you're of no good. You're no good. And you know, there's a couple things he attacks especially. And this is what you got to learn to the enemy. If he's attacking us, because it's important. So what does he attack? He attacks the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you got people afraid to be weird for God. But they wasn't afraid to be weird for the devil. Y'all weren't afraid to be weird for the devil. Some of y'all think back to them days you was doing some crazy stuff and had no shame in it. You know? You was an alcoholic and proud of it. Amen? Y'all ever see those alcoholic pictures on online? Why when you take a picture, you gotta be pointing at your drink? That's some alcoholic stuff right there. You need help. And you see somebody you love posting pictures like that, help them. Call a hotline. Do an intervention. But see, when it comes to the Lord, it's always on the tuck. It's always underneath. You know, we don't want no one to know. And that's why you find out. You ever been at a job for like 5 years, and then you find out another person on your job's a Christian too? Oh, I didn't know you went to church. That's because neither of you are representing. But here's the thing. Satan attacks what he knows you need most. One of the things he knows you need most is the supernatural power of God. And so he puts this in your head. Oh, don't be weird. Serve God, but don't be weird. Serve God, but don't be weird. Don't go too far because you don't want people to think you're weird. Listen, we read it. The world's going to hate the things of God. If you're going to serve God, they're going to think certain things are weird. But understand this. The world calls darkness light and light darkness. The world says, oh, don't give money to the church. Don't do that. Y'all, you're going to get ripped off. But it's interesting when you was given $200 to the bar, paying your $9 beer over and over, and then buying everybody else that you didn't even know a round of drinks. That was perfectly normal. That's perfectly normal. And then you go home and your kids are eating macaroni and cheese and weenies. Because we didn't call them hot dogs, did we? We didn't call them hot dogs. Get his weenies? That's what we would say. And that's normal. And that's normal. To go out with the homies, spend it at the bar, or, you know, God forbid, go to the strip joint. and drop money for a cochina dancing in front of you. That you don't know. And you're just making it rain. Tell your neighbor, pastor's being too real here. But listen, I gotta say this because that's normal to them. That's normal to them. A bachelor party where they do that is normal to them. A bachelor party where they go out and get drunk, that's normal to them. But to those that are in the kingdom of God, we see darkness for what it is. We see light for what it is. And you're going to have to take a stand at some point. What are you going to walk in, light or darkness? You're going to have to. Because remember what Jesus said in the book of Revelation. He said, I got to spit you out if you're lukewarm. He said, man, I'd rather you just be cold. If you're going to just not serve God, go back to the club and go get it out of you. Go get it out of your system. Because God has a better chance of getting you in that situation than he does you playing halfways. He says, man, be hot or cold. I say this, let's get hot. Amen? Let's be hot. Let's be really hot. Let's burn up for Jesus and let's help folks. Right? But this thing of intimidation, it's killing you. It's killing us. We're ashamed. We don't know what we can do. Is it okay if I tell people about Jesus on my job? Let me answer that for you. Yes. Yeah, but, you know, they have different rules. Well, listen, is it okay if people around you talk about smoking weed and doing what they do? They do it. What's really going to help them? Jesus. One in five people are suffering from a mental illness right now in America. One in five. And we got a church afraid of sharing Jesus. We have people afraid to share a message that literally produces peace. One in five American adults is dealing with anxiety, depression, and you got the answer. But we're intimidated. We got to break out of intimidation. And you know what helps break out of intimidation? Knowledge and understanding. So that's why I'm taking this time to really break down the baptism of the Holy Spirit to you, because I don't want it to be something weird when you have understanding. I don't want it to be for you to be something foreign when you have understanding. What I'm trying to show you is this. Jesus thought it was so important that he told the disciples, do nothing. Now remember, the disciples were a band of bumbling, stumbling dudes, unlearned men. That's what the Bible called them. When people met them, they said, what is it about these unlearned guys? You know what that means? What is that about these uneducated fools that is turning the world upside down? You want to know what it was? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Peter went from being a coward who, when a little girl said, hey, aren't you Jesus' friend? He said, F no, I ain't Jesus' friend. The Bible says he cussed her out. He used profanity. I ain't Jesus' friend. Get out of here, little scrub. Get out of here. And what did he do? But what happens that 50 days later, he preaches the first sermon and over 2,000 people get saved. 4,000 people get saved. What happened? Baptism of the Holy Spirit. What can happen with you if you start utilizing the power, the ability to get results in your life? What would happen to your marriage? How much better a husband you going to be? How much better a wife you going to be? How much better a mother you going to be? How much better a student you're going to be? See, but we ain't utilizing it. But we're going to change that today, amen? So let me give you five reasons we need to be praying in the Holy Spirit. There's actually a lot more, but we got to start somewhere, amen? Because y'all want to go home and eat today, so, all right? So understand this. Let me give you the first one here. Number one, the first benefit of praying in other tongues is this. Praying in tongues allows you to speak directly to God. They prove it to you. 1 Corinthians 14:2. I always got to have scripture for these things because it's not my ideas. This is what the word says. It says, for if you have the ability to speak in tongues, 1 Corinthians 14:2, you will be talking only to God since people won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit. but it will all be mysterious to you. Or one translation says, it'll all be mysteries to you. Now, what is this saying here? It's saying that when I allow my spirit to pray, it is like I joked about last week, it'd be like having the bat phone. Remember that bat phone, the red phone? You pick it up, Batman's on the other line. Didn't have to go through nothing, nobody. Now, you might say, well, when I talk to God, isn't he hearing my English too? Isn't he hearing my Spanish prayer too? He's hearing it too, but here's the big thing. The enemy also hears it. The kingdom of darkness also hears it. But when I pray in other tongues, only God hears it and understands it. Did you know this? Satan and the devil, they're not opposites. They're not opposites. Satan is not God's opposite. God is God, and Satan is like a mosquito. But granted, mosquitoes will jack you up. Right? You ever try to sleep with a mosquito in the room? Oh, man, that's the worst, longest night ever. It's bad. And that's how life is with Satan. Now, here's the other thing about a mosquito. Mosquitoes carry disease. You can get malaria and die by getting bitten from a mosquito. But don't get it twisted. God and the devil, he's not an opposite. Satan is not omnipotent. He's not everywhere at one time. God is. He's also not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. He only knows what we reveal to him. And then his kingdom moves around that. But when I pray in other tongues, and I say, God, I want to just intercede for our building right now, and I just begin to pray in other tongues, he has no idea what's going on. But here's another thing that you need to understand about why it's important to have this hotline with God. It's because it also removes the influence of the carnal mind. See, when I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm praying the will of God. When I pray in English, did you know my carnal mind can influence my prayers? It can influence my prayers. I can want something so bad, I can actually be praying against what God wants for me. That's why, single people, you got to be careful when you're praying for that person to marry you. God, speak to her that I am the man for her. Be careful of that, because you may want it more than God does. So you know what you do? When you pray for that person, just pray in the Spirit. God, I lift up so-and-so to you right now. Let your will be done. Kirabasata. And you just pray. And guess what's happening? That hotline, you're praying the perfect will of God. When you pray in the Spirit, you remove the carnal mind. You remove also your little, those things that influence your prayers from an unrenewed mind. Here's another thing that why it's important to have that direct prayer to God. It's because it removes wrong motivations. But here's a big one. It removes doubt from your prayer. Let me illustrate to you what I mean. If I said to you, everybody in this room right now, let's pray that God gives you $1 million. I got one amen on that. That's exactly what I'm talking about there. Because I said, let's pray that God gives you $1 million. You know what runs through all of our unrenewed minds? God ain't going to give me $1 million. I need $100. God ain't give me $100. He ain't give me $1 million. Right? I mean, that's what runs through our minds. We begin to doubt our own prayers. And doubt is like throwing water on the fire of your faith. So there's things some of you should be praying for, but you don't have the faith to pray for it. And so your prayers are weak. But here's where praying in the Spirit directly to God comes in. If we say, let's pray for $1 million, or let's just pray for God's provision for our life, and we begin to pray in the Spirit, there's no doubt, because we don't even know what we're saying. It's a pure prayer straight to the Father. Amen? Give you another one. I say, some of you, pray for your spouse. Pray for your husband. He needs prayer. I don't know how much it's going to do. He ain't changed this long. Pray for a new job. I'm going to pray, but I doubt it's going to happen. I never get a break. I never get. You guys hear the conversations in your head? Pray in the spirit. It eliminates it. It's a pure, faith-filled prayer. If you really understood what you needed to pray for and what God wanted to give you, it'd blow your mind. God blessing you with a business or $1 million is nothing to him. All he's waiting for is a people with the faith to believe for it. That's it. So you know what gives you that faith? Praying in the spirit. It alleviates all that outward influence, and it makes your faith go directly into the heavens and into the throne room of God. Amen? Okay, so the first thing, praying in tongues allows you to speak directly to God, removing doubt, removing carnality, removing wrong motivated prayers. It's a pure prayer. Amen? Number two, second thing you need to understand about why you should be praying in other tongues. This is the benefits. Number two, praying in tongues keeps you in tune with the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 4. It says, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. What does this mean? It means tongues is a gift from God. It allows you to pray the will of God by the empowering of the Holy Spirit. When you pray in other tongues, you are yielding to the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of you. Then you're allowing that same spirit to pray through you so you're in tune with him. It's important, people. I don't know how you get in tune with the Holy Spirit without this. What does it basically mean? In a nutshell, it means this. It removes control from your hands and gives it to the Spirit. See, so many of us are in control of our lives. Here's the thing. A relationship with God means you got to trust him. He knows more than you. He knows better than you. And as the old timers used to say, he'll be better than you than you can be to yourself. But you got to trust him. And what is a problem that most of us in the room have? We don't trust. Here's a problem for anybody that's been abused or damaged or hurt by anybody in your life. You want to control things now. You want to be in control. That's a problem when it comes to getting the Spirit and it comes to living the God kind of life. Because here's the thing, understand this. To make Jesus Lord means he's in control. The more control you give over to God, the better your life becomes. The more you stay in control, you get what you get. But if you want to possess the promise, give God more control. How do we do that? Obey his word. So here's the thing. When you pray in other tongues, it keeps you in tune with the Holy Spirit. You're giving over control to the Holy Spirit, starting with your language. What do I mean by that? Remember the first couple weeks ago, we had Eddie Cobb up here. We had Jose Corona here. And then we had Itty Bitty Jessica up here. And Itty Bitty Jessica was the spirit. Jose Corona was the mind, will, emotions, the soul, and the flesh was Eddie Cobb. See, in most of us, in all of us, the flesh wants to be in control. Wants to be in control. The soul wants to be in control. We're in a generation right now that is a very soulish generation. They're governed by how they feel. And if they don't feel good about things, they make life choices based on how they feel. That's a mistake. Because your feelings, here's this, listen to this, your feelings will lie to you. They'll lie to you. Your feelings will say to you, I don't love this person anymore. You know what you need to say to your feelings when they come to you like that, married people? You need to say, you're lying, I'm madly in love with this person. Well, I don't feel like I am. Love is not a feeling. Read the Bible. Love is generous, love is kind, love is all a bunch of things, but it never says in there it's a feeling. But here's the thing, when you pray in the Spirit, guess what you're doing? You're taking control away from the flesh and your mental capacity, and you're putting it in the hands of the Spirit. I want to encourage you guys as homework this week. Spend at least 3 to 4 minutes every morning or every day praying in the Holy Ghost. And the way you can do this is this is a good starter kit for you guys. Y'all ready for this? Because I'm all about practicality here. Amen. It's no good to teach you these great doctrines and you don't do none of them. I don't want everybody leaving here going, I should pray in the Holy Spirit, but never doing it. So here's how you do it. To start out, you put on a praise and worship song. Could be praise, could be worship. They're usually 3 to 4 minutes long. From start to end, pray the Holy Spirit the whole time that song is on. When the song's done, you can stop praying. It's a discipline. It's helping yourself get rid of the control of your mind. Because, see, your mind, when your mind's in control, guess what will follow? Depression, anxiety, fear, timidity, all that stuff. It'll follow. And here's the thing you need to understand about your mind. It's yours. You are a spirit. You own a mind, will, and emotions. You live in a body. Look at your body right now. Look at your hands. Take a moment. Look at it. You know all that is? It's the Earth suit. You ever see the astronauts go into space? And they put on those big puffy suits? See, I got a puffy Earth suit. That's all. Don't judge me. It's a puffy one. It's because my air suit. Some of you have got slimmer, tighter Earth suits. Good for you. But regardless, it's an Earth suit. This ain't me. I'm inside of here. And I own a brain, a mind, will, and emotions, which is my computer. And my computer tells my Earth suit what to do. But here's the problem. Most of you, the computer has taken over. And it's running you. You know how to take it back? Begin by praying in other tongues. Your mind will freak out. Listen, this exercise will be the hardest thing you do sometimes. It's amazing how some people cannot pray in the Spirit. I used to be a director of an international Bible school in Florida for about 5 years. We had students coming in from all over the world, Iceland, New Zealand, Australia, all over the place. And what we would do with them every morning is we would gather them together for prayer, and we would say, okay, we're going to seek God in the Holy Ghost. We're not going to pray in English. You're not going to pray in your native language. We're just going to pray in tongues. And it's amazing how hard that is for people. Why? Because your mind begins to freak out. What are you doing? Why are you doing this? This isn't doing anything. I don't understand what you're saying. This is stupid. And then your flesh gets involved. And you start, I don't want to do this. This is crazy. I need to lay down. I need to sit down. And you get all this going on, and your prayer is just going up. So we used to discipline these guys. You want to be in the ministry? You got to learn how to put your mind submitted behind your spirit. I challenge you guys, 5 minutes every day, pray in the Spirit. Just allow the Holy Ghost to flow through you. Because what does it do? It puts the Holy, gets you in tune with the Holy Spirit. And it teaches your mind and your will and your body that, hey, you're not in control today. I'm going to allow the Spirit of God to work through me. Do you guys see that? Do you see why it's important to have yourself in tune with the Holy Spirit? Because the flesh only wants to do fun things. What does it want to do? It wants to eat, sleep, have sex, be entertained. That's it. That's all it wants to do. And I just described some of all you want to do. We've got to get that thing in check. Now, none of that stuff is wrong, but it should not rule our lives. Amen? God put those things in us, but he does not want them to rule us. Those things serve us. And the way we demonstrate that is by getting in tune with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Let's go to the third one here. Number three, another reason for praying in tongues, it strengthens your spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. But one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. There's levels to this thing. It's amazing people want to prophesy, but they don't have a strong prayer language. You got to start somewhere. Tongues is the gateway to the supernatural. It's the gateway. It's the starting point. And look at what it says here. Those that speak in other tongues strengthen themselves personally. I'm just not a strong enough Christian. Pray in tongues every day. They prove it to you again, Jude chapter 1, verse 20. It says this, beloved, but you, beloved, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Jude 1:20. Praying in tongues builds you up spiritually and helps you to live a spirit-led life. Why do you need a strong spirit? See, here's the problem we are, as a lot of Christians, this is our problem, okay? The problem is we're reactionary. We don't do anything till we have to. How many know what I'm talking about? We live our lives, we don't exercise, we don't eat right, but then the doctor says, you're about to die unless you get your diet in order. Oh, let me go do that then. You don't treat your wife right, you don't take her out on dates, you don't, spend time with her, you don't tell her she's beautiful, you don't buy her things. Come on, well, help me out, ladies. What else? You don't do none of that until she says, I'm done. I'm out of here. And then I get the call. Pastor, can we meet with you? See, we're reactionary when we should be doing that all along. Should be doing things all along. Let's not be reactionary when it comes to our spirit man. Because here's what begins to happen. When we need God, that's the only time we turn to him. You know how many people I've led to the Lord at this altar because they had a court date coming up on Monday? Pastor, pray for me. I'm going to see the judge tomorrow. I just need God to really turn things around. See, it's reactionary. But you know what's not reactionary? Taking care of your spirit. Get it ready for the fight that's coming. Get it ready for the challenge that's coming. And you know how you do that? Pray in the spirit every day. Build your faith up. Some of you, you're not ready for your destiny. You're not ready for your destiny. It amazes me sometimes the things single people complain about. And the married people said, amen. Life is 2 times harder when you're married. For some marriages, 3 times. And then it gets even harder when you have babies or a baby. Then you add another baby. Then you get a third baby. Then if the TV's broke, you get a fourth or fifth baby. Couldn't pay the cable bill, more kids are coming. But here's the thing. Track with me now. Here's the thing. You got to get ready for those challenges. How do you get ready? Build your spirit up. So we said Eddie Cobb was the flesh. Jose was the soul. Little itty bitty Jessica was the spirit. Not in my life. Not in my life. In my life, Eddie Cobb is the spirit. Because I want my spirit strong. So when I get a bad report from the doctor, I don't crumble. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? He said I'm going to die. Nope, I ain't dying. I shall live. My spirit's ready to take that on. Amen? Yes. Not all of our spirits are there. So you get a bad report. You don't run to God. You fall into depression. You lose your job. You don't got the faith to sustain. You go back to drinking. You get in a fight with your wife. You don't turn to the Lord. You go back to using drugs. You want to know why? Because your spirit is itty bitty 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 like that. Guess what? You got to work that thing out. You got to get it up. You got to get it strong. You got to get your jailhouse on. You got to get your swole on in the spirit. Amen. And how do you do that? By every day using your faith, praying in other tongues. Jude says it's the most holy faith. The most holy. What does that mean? It's important. See, life is going to have problems. Things aren't always going to be easy. Has anybody ever discovered that? Amen. So you think, well, if I just hit the lotto, I'm straight. No. See, Puffy tried to tell you more money, more problems. You didn't even listen to him. You think money's the answer. No, more money, more problems. Okay? Single person, you're depressed now. That's all I'm going to say about that. Listen, the reason we're so adamant about celebrating our love is because we almost didn't make it. And it's going to be by the grace of God that we continue on. Because there are times when her and I are going through it so much, we want to quit. Guess what sustains us? Not my flesh. My flesh is like, leave her quickly. Her flesh saying the same thing too. Her emotions are saying, I don't love him. He's hurting me. Those things lie. But my spirit says, this is the wife of my youth. I will love her like Jesus loves the church. Then her spirit speaks up and says, this is the man of my dreams. I'm in for it when she gets the mic. I already know. But it's the spirit that sustains you in those times. Are you guys tracking with me? So you got to take care of that spirit. And there's ways you build up your spirit. The word of God builds you up. Listening to preaching builds you up. But praying in other tongues builds up your spirit and edifies you like nothing else. You know what you could do on your commute? Those of you guys that are commuters, put some worship on, and the whole way to work, just pray in the spirit. I guarantee your day will go better. Find ways to work it in. Find times just to get it in. When you're in the shower, pray in other tongues. When you're on the throne in the bathroom, pray in other tongues. Jesus. Okay. Find times in there. Listen, we've got to lose this stigma. We've got to lose this stigma that it's just this weird thing, that it's just this thing that, you know, only certain Christians do. It's something Jesus said we all need. It strengthens your spirit. We need a strong spirit. Amen? Amen. Let's keep going. Number four, praying in tongues allows you to pray even when you don't know what to pray for. Ooh, this is a good one right here. I call this part of our superpowers. I know Stan Lee died this week. Rest in peace, Stan Lee. But I hope he was born again. I really do. But listen, this is one of our superpowers here. Then when we don't know what to pray for, the Spirit creates intercession through groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Romans 8:26. Man, this makes our world huge because there's so much we're limited in our understanding. But when I don't know what to pray for, I don't know what's going on, I could pray in the Holy Ghost. It's an amazing, amazing superpower. This is why when we go on missions trips, I always deal with people and we're taking teams and we go to another country and they go, Pastor, you know, I never laid hands on nobody. I said, that's all right, just pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in tongues. Yeah, but isn't that going to freak them out? No, it's not going to freak them out. What's going to happen is you don't know this person. You never seen them before. You don't know what they're going through. But when you allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you, he prays exactly what they need. And those of you that have gone to the Philippines with us, you've seen this. We lay hands on these kids. We don't know them. Don't know what they're going through. Don't know what's happening. We just kita rabasa. The power of God falls. These kids start weeping. They start crying because God is meeting their needs right where they're at. And you don't even know what's going on. Took my 82-year-old dad on a missions trip. Never prayed, laid hands on anybody in his life. I said, Dad, we need you. He said, yee-hole right now. I said, come on, let's go. Dad, just lay hands and bless him. Just pray in the spirit, Dad, you know. He got in there. Kids start breaking in his arms. Afterwards, he goes, mijo, I never felt anything like that. I said, Dad, that's just the Holy Spirit using you to pray. That's all it is, folks. There's so much, mom and dad, you don't know what your kids are dealing with, and they ain't going to tell you probably. They ain't going to tell you. So guess what you can do? You can walk your bedroom floor, and shika rabasata, I pray for my little mijito, kita rabasata, urobosota, and God will take care of it. There were times as a single, I used to go out and park my car in this area. It was this little neighborhood. They started building a neighborhood, and then they ran out of money, so they just had these roads and vacant lots. And I used to go out there, and I used to park my car when I was single, and I'd put some music on, and I would just walk around my car praying for my wife. Didn't know who she was. Didn't know where she was. Didn't know what she was going through. Didn't know what she was doing. Didn't know if she was with somebody at the time. I found out she was. But I prayed that fool out of her life. I prayed that fool out of her life. She's keeping score over here. She's like, that's two. I prayed that dude out. Didn't know him. Didn't need to know him. Walked around my car, shikarabasa, wherever she's at, Lord, bless her. Sakara, get her ready for me, Lord. Shikabasanta, protect her, God. Be with her, encourage her. Just praying in the spirit. Try that. It's better than just being depressed. When are they going to come, God? Try that. Birth that thing in there. Are you guys catching this today? So praying in tongues allows you to pray when you don't know what to pray for. Y'all ever just been praying and run out of stuff to tell God? God, you're worthy. You're awesome, Father God. I praise you, Father God. Oh, Father God. And you're just Father God in it. Father God. You're the mostest, bestest God. Start making up stuff. God, you're the most high of the utmost high. You know, you need to do, just stop and shikabata de. God, you're good. Branda basata la de. You're better than my words can put in there. Right? Because in other words, you just get like, man, you're so good, God. You're the goodest God. You're so good. Man, just pray and just go to another level like that. And the last thing here, okay? The last one is this. Praying in tongues is a tool to accomplish the will of God and destroy the works of the enemy. Did I put that one? I made it a little bit longer here. Praying in tongues is a tool to accomplish the will of God and destroy the work of the enemy. You want to accomplish the will of God for your life? Pray in the Holy Spirit. You ain't smart enough to figure it out on your own. Did you know anything I've ever got from God never came the way I thought it would come? Never came. And it ain't going to come like that for you either. That's the problem. We get in the way of God's blessing. God says, I'm going to give you a business. You're going to make $1 million. We say, awesome. Let me start planning it. And planning's good, but don't forget who said it. Obedience is even trumps planning. You should plan. But when God's plans trump your plans, go with God's plan. And nothing I've ever gotten from God ever came the way it was supposed to. I thought it should. We came from Florida to start our church. We thought everybody we knew would come when we started having Bible studies. So my cousin had a gym. He said, hey, let's start doing these over here. I said, cool. I put the word out to everybody we knew that I thought would come. None of them came. Not the second week. Not the third week. I almost put on the flyer, $20 for everybody that comes. Almost. I didn't do that, though. I had a lot of money. But I probably would have been safe because nobody was coming anyway. It didn't happen like that. It didn't happen until I put it down. And I just started taking care of my family and taking care of what God had in front of me. And then God began to do it. But praying in tongues is a tool to accomplish the will of God and destroy the works of the enemy. It says this, Mark 16, 15 through 18. And then he told them, this is Jesus, go into all the world, preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. Translation of the new language is glossolalia. It's speaking in other tongues. It's part of what Jesus said. Go into all the world and take these things with you. Take these things with you. These are not just for pastors, apostles, prophets, ministers. This is for everybody. This is for everybody. Everybody in this room, Jesus tells you this. Go into all the world, and while you're doing it, cast out devils, pray in other tongues, lay hands on the sick. But you can't do it without being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And guess what we don't see a lot in the American church today? These things here. Because we don't value that baptism. We don't value it. But in this church, I got to tell you, you really want to turn your life around? If you're going to really do this thing, let's do it. Amen? Amen? If you really want to change your life, let's change it. But see, most people don't really want to change their life. You know what they want? They want fire insurance. They want to just know one day I'm going to go to heaven. No, let's really change your life. Let's really find out what it is you're born to do. Amen? Let's find out what you're really born to do. Let's warm it up. Warm it up, Chris. I'm about to. Warm it up, Chris. That's what I was born to do. Chris is ready, too. Let's find out. Let's do this. Let's really go after God. Let's say, God, you created me for something. Let's find out what it is. Lord, I'm tired of being an addict. I'm tired of this destructive behavior. I'm tired of relationships not working. I break the curse of divorce off my family. Make my relationship work. Give me a future and a hope, God. Let's go after it. Let's do it. And let's start operating by God's laws and God's word and see what happens. Let's get rid of depression and replace it with faith. Let's get rid of anxiety and replace it with peace. Amen? Let's be in the world, but not of it. You got to get, some of us guys still got to make some changes and quit this argument of, well, I'm not doing nothing wrong. Oh, well, you know, it's not wrong for me to be out partying like that. Listen, get away from that. Is it productive? Is anybody getting saved? Is there fruit? Who are you affecting? Amen? Are you obeying Jesus? Let me give you these last things here, and that is Jesus proclaimed several things that would happen to those who followed him and continued his work. Speaking in tongues is one of those gifts, and it allows Jesus' followers to stand against the work of the enemy. Praying in tongues is a gift that's available to every believer. It allows you to pray God's will to him. It keeps you in tune with the Holy Spirit. It strengthens your spirit as you stand against the work of the devil. Don't discount the powerful gift from God. Desire it. Embrace it. Relish the strength it adds to your spiritual life. And let's quit being ashamed of it. Let's quit making the Holy Ghost something we only do in the back room when nobody's around. Own it. Own him. He's a person. How would you like if somebody was afraid to be your friend or ashamed to be your friend? They was only cool with you when you was in private, but in front of everybody else, oh, I don't know her. She's not my girlfriend. But when nobody's around, hey, baby. Hashtag side chick. Let's not do that to the Holy Spirit. Let's embrace him. Let's desire him. Now, here's the part where you got to ask yourself, do I want more of God or don't I? Because there's absolutely nothing to be afraid of. Well, I just remember growing up in my Theas church, and every time they pray in the Holy Spirit, it get real weird. That was your Theas church. That's not here. Listen, I saw all those things too. I saw all them things, man. People just thinking that was the end game. Let's get filled with the Holy Spirit so we can have an experience. No, let's get filled with the Holy Spirit so we can have the power, which is the ability to get results. What is it you need right now? You need the ability to overcome alcohol. You need the ability to improve your marriage. You need the ability to have a better life, be a better dad, the ability to stay married. That's what we're offering you today. Not just the ability to vibrate and lay on the floor. Not just the ability to la, 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 la. No, the ability that comes through a prayer language and a relationship with the Holy Spirit.
Hey, everybody, Pastor Sergio here, and we just want to thank you for tuning in to our podcast. Make sure you check us out next week as we continue this series.